Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It was so perfect. It was set up so brilliantly. It was going to be a night of celebration for the NBA as Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki played their final home games in front of the crowds that had adored them throughout their entire careers. Crowds that saw them win a championship for Dirk and a couple of championships for Dwayne Wade. A celebration of the careers of these two incredible NBA players. Generational NBA players. We'll never see anybody like Dirk again. And Dwayne Wade just was a phenomenal player, not only on his own, winning a title, but with the big three with LeBron and Chris Bosh. But, did I say it was set up brilliantly? Yeah. Unfortunately, Magic Johnson had other plans. Because on the same day that the NBA and basically the sports world were celebrating the careers of two outstanding players who are wrapping up their careers, Magic decides to trump them all by stepping down as president of the Lakers in a job he shouldn't have had in the first place. So congratulations, Magic. And we're going to get to the reasons why Magic Johnson went public first before telling anybody within the organization. And that includes LeBron James, for that matter, if you want to throw him in as part of the organization. I mean, front office or not. Magic decides to have an impromptu press conference to announce he's stepping down as the Laker management. It just couldn't have been written any better for Magic's departure. And now, where do the Lakers go? This is a franchise and an organization that is different than most franchises, not only in the NBA, but in all of sports. It's iconic. It carries a lot of weight. It's an important job. And now Magic is gone. So Jeannie Buss has got to make a few phone calls. So where does she go? Coming up, Magic leaves. Where are the Lakers right now? And how embarrassing has this season been? We'll talk about that on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, on Twitter as well as at Ron Culver. Ron with two N's will discuss all the things in La La Land next as we roll along this morning on SB Nation AM.
This magic moment.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, this is for you, Lakerland. Oh, yes. Took me by surprise, too. I bet it took Jeannie Buss by surprise, too, huh? How does she feel that Rachel Nichols found out before she did?
I know, isn't it you're supposed to find out on Twitter before everyone else?
That's right, exactly. He should have did it on Twitter.
Yeah.
He tells Rachel Nichols before he tells Jeannie Buss. This is so magic.
It's a room full of people.
Exactly. He's like, yeah, by the way, here's what I'm going to do. I'm out. Bye. Now, his excuses that he didn't want to tell Jeannie because she would talk him out of it. Oh, stop. Please. By the way, why are we talking about this? Why don't we just let Magic Johnson tell us in his own words? Here's Magic.
And then I got a great life. I was like, damn, I got a great life outside of this. What am I doing? You know, I got a beautiful life. So I'm going to go back to that beautiful life. And I'm looking forward to it. And somebody's going to have to tell my boss, because I know she's going to be sick, but I know I couldn't face her face-to-face and tell her, even though I was just with her yesterday, and we had a three-hour meeting about the direction of this great organization. And so today, Rachel, I'm free, my love.
Have you really not told Jeannie yet?
No, I have I couldn't stay in the hotel. But the one thing that she had in me, somebody she could trust and loyal to her. And then I will be that as well. I've been talking to people walking here. We've been talking about next year, and I'm sitting there saying, I'm not going to be here.
God, that is just as unprofessional as you can get.
No, but she has someone that, you know, she can trust and is loyal.
Yeah. He's telling everybody before he tells her. It's so... Here's where I'll excuse Magic in a way. When was the last time he was ever a real employee? Probably never, right? He was an NBA player, you know. Then he got into business where he's the boss. He owns a lot of businesses where he's the boss. And now he's the president, and he answers to Jeannie Buss. So Jeannie Buss, you know, writes his paychecks. He works for her. It's probably the only time he's ever worked for anybody in that kind of capacity. He probably doesn't understand how the hierarchy works. I remember once I was a young man, I was working at a radio station, and I had this job, and I was leaving, and I told my friends at the radio station I was leaving, but I didn't tell my boss yet. I remember when I went to go tell him, he goes, yeah, I already know. But reality is I should have known first. It was kind of a young, you know, a young stupid thing I did, but I never made that mistake again. Like, and this is like, he's joking about it. That's not how you do that. You don't do that to Jeannie Buss, where she has to hear it from other people. You're supposed to tell her. You owe her the courtesy. If you want to leave, you leave. And you know the way that quote started, where he's like, I got a wonderful life. You had a wonderful life. You knew what this job was. Stop pretending like this job was such a burden and it was hampering on your beautiful life. Why did you take it then? What did you think it was going to be? What did you think being the president of the Lakers was going to do? That it wasn't going to take any time commitment? That it wasn't going to take you showing up at an office? That it wasn't going to take some stress? That it wasn't going to take tough decisions? You didn't want to fire Luke Walton. You wanted to fire Luke Walton. You didn't want to fire this guy. You didn't want to fire that guy. Or you didn't want to cut this guy. You didn't want to release that guy. He was talking about, I didn't want to affect life decisions. What do you think being a president of a sports franchise is? You make these decisions. You release guys, you trade guys, you fire coaches, you bring certain people back. It's what you do. It's how the job works. There's more to this. There's a lot more to this story than Magic with a wonderful life wanting to leave the Lakers. There's been conflicts with him and Rob Pelinka. There's probably conflicts with the way that Jeannie Buss was like, yeah, well, you guys do whatever you want to do on Luke Walton's situation. Probably a bunch of other things that go on behind the scenes. And he's just playing it off as, you understand, I got a beautiful life. Why would I want this? Well, why'd you want it in the first place? You were building, you were bringing back an iconic sports brand. And you got LeBron James. And this year has been an embarrassment. You've lost players to injury. You didn't make the playoffs. Right? You tried to get Anthony Davis, and that fell, and it blew up in your face. Kawhi Leonard didn't come calling. Instead of going to the Lakers, he ends up getting traded to Toronto. Paul George was supposed to come to the Lakers. Instead, he re-upped with Oklahoma City. The Lakers still have a great opportunity of building a team around LeBron to contend for a championship. But this season was embarrassing, and now this is the embarrassment cherry on top of the embarrassment sundae. The way Magic exits out of this, it's embarrassing for not only the organization, that it doesn't understand its own hierarchy of how this is supposed to work. But I'll be honest with you, I'm upset at him for doing this on the day Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki were supposed to have the center of the spotlight. And instead he just throws it out there, throws the bomb out there. That could have been calculated better. He was in a meeting with Jeannie Buss. He doesn't say anything. And instead, he does it in the hallway to a bunch of reporters in an impromptu press conference. Again, play your cards well. Don't play your cards poorly. You're leaving. You're going off to that wonderful life. But the Lakers are now are going to be dealing with your mess. Okay, where do they go from here? And who does Jeannie call now? Who does she pick up? Does she call Phil? And try to see what he thinks of where this should go? Does she go comfort or does she go outside and get the best possible general manager that she can possibly land, regardless of Laker ties or a friend of the family's or somebody connected with Kobe or whoever, however it's supposed to play out or however she thought it could have played out, hiring everybody within the Laker family? Go steal Sam Presti, for crying out loud. Go take somebody in the NBA that's actually done a great job and understands how this game is supposed to be played. Because Magic didn't really know how this game was played. Right? Magic never really understood tampering, for crying out loud. To be honest with you, I don't blame him, right? Because Magic's never been told this is the things you can do and these are the things you can't do. So when he was yapping about all these players that the NBA would find him, I'm sure he's like, oh my God, I can't even do this. I don't want to do this. But it doesn't, he can laugh and just be like, I didn't tell her. But that's again, think about this from a image part of where the Lakers are right now, right? What are the Lakers? The Lakers are a team that fell down. Now they got LeBron James, right? Now let's build around LeBron James. Let's secure this player. Let's get this player. We got enough cap room to go after some big free agents. We're going to put a team around LeBron. We're getting back. We're going to be back into NBA royalty. And many of us still believe that, by the way. At least I do. I still believe eventually this is going to work. LeBron's not going to not let this work. But to have your president step down in an impromptu press conference without really understanding the overall process to this and how it's really supposed to. Because listen, if you are a general manager in this league with a good job, all right, you're the general manager of a playoff team, of a team that is making strides towards winning an NBA championship or getting close to feeling like you're putting together an NBA championship level team. Let's say you're one of the top GMs in the league right now. And Jeannie Buss comes calling. The appeal of going to the Lakers is always going to be there. I don't care what dysfunction is going on. It's the Lakers, okay? Let's be honest. It's the Lakers. It's like if the Yankees call, you pick up the phone and you listen because it's the Yankees, regardless of what it may mean. But if you're a smart general manager, this is not embarrassing from the standpoint of the fan base. I mean, even though, hey, it looks like there's a lot of dysfunction. Where the Lakers are getting hurt by this is that if I'm a general manager for, let's say, Oklahoma City or Houston or Golden State or anybody else that might be in the running for this job, what Magic Johnson's impromptu press conference tells me is that there's something going on behind the scenes that doesn't make sense to me. There's something behind the scenes that's not right, that he left that quickly. So if I'm looking to take over at Magic Johnson's shoes here, become president of the Lakers, I got to find out why this occurred the way it occurred. What made Magic do this? Is Magic so frustrated that this is what he had to do at that moment instead of the proper way to do it, which is sit down with the owner, explain your concerns, resign, and then you have a press conference to announce the resignation, and then the team has a plan to sort of play it out, right? We thank Magic for the 2 years. Man, he did a great job. Whatever it is you want to say about his tenure with the Lakers, but you do it in an organizational setting, not for the fans, but for anybody that wants the job and is in serious consideration for the job. Because right now, this is not an attractive place to work, regardless of the legacy and the iconicness of the franchise. If you're a GM, again, and you have a good job with a good team, you might think twice about joining this disaster. Because this isn't about, let's bring in some basketball players for LeBron and everything will be fine. There is something about the way this has been structured, this is something about the way the front office is running, that Magic decided to do it this way. That doesn't seem to be the right way it should have been handled. Well, it doesn't seem. It absolutely isn't the right way it should have been handled. But again, if you're a smart GM, good family, good team, making good money, do you go to the Lakers just because it's the Lakers? Or do you do a little digging and find out, what am I walking into? Because I don't want to leave this. Look, she's not going to pluck the general manager or the president of the Orlando Magic or the Charlotte Hornets or anything. She's going to pluck a team. She's going to go after guys who are right now successful. Right now have teams on the cusp of winning. So she's going to have to try to convince them to leave that to come to this hellhole that is now the LA Lakers. And some guys may be up for the challenge because it's the Lakers, and they'll be like, I don't care. I'll deal with it when I'm there. I can overcome anything. And there'll be others who will say, you know what? No. I'm really building something here, and I want to win a title here, and my family likes it here. And the Lakers are always going to be attractive, but not today. Not today. Just like there was a time when the Yankees wasn't an attractive option, when the Dallas Cowboys aren't an attractive option, whatever it is, name your iconic franchise. Every one of them has had a period of time where there's just so much dysfunctionalness that's going on that you don't want to be attached to it. And then there are moments where it's glory, and then there's others where you just want to be a part of it because that is the history of that particular sport, right? You can't begin to even consider the NBA history without the Lakers. They would take up so much of the room in the history books. But right now, what this is showing is that those people looking at the Lakers right now are looking at the Lakers going, why did he do it that way? There's got to be something going on. So what does Jeannie Buss do now? Where does she go? 800-777-2907 on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. We'll talk about some options that the Lakers have. And what does this actually mean for Los Angeles that Magic is stepping down? And what is his legacy going to be? That's next. It's SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Now you can earn O reward points online at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. Earn points any way you shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You can get a $5 reward for every 150 points you earn. Visit orewards.com. Become an O'Reilly O Rewards member today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Ah, so where does Jeannie Buss go from here? Oh, poor Jeannie Buss. She had to fire Mitch Kupchak and her brother, brought in Magic. Now Magic's leaving, doesn't even tell her. He says, he loves Jeannie like a sister. She would cry. She'd probably beg him to come back. I don't know. Why wouldn't he tell her? I don't understand Magic for this. Why didn't he tell her first? He's got to be smart enough to know her, to know that he owes her the conversation. Goodness gracious. You got to do that.
He's afraid.
He's afraid. Jeannie's going to be like, come here, Magic. What was this?
I mean, obviously she's a sorcerer of some sort.
She must be.
Because she would be able to talk him out of it.
Oh, so does she call Phil now? Does she go, Phil?
No, what do she's I do? Not going to call Phil.
What do I do? Where do I go? Who do I offer this job to? Phil would be like, I don't know. I don't care. Do whatever it is you want to do.
Phil's holed up in Montana somewhere.
If you are a GM, is this still an attractive position right now? It is the Lakers, for crying out loud. I can't deny that. But there's got to be something that's going on that is not doesn't seem very attractive.
I don't know. I mean, we all knew that LeBron James can run coaches out of town.
God.
Is it possible that he can now just, take out front office people? And maybe LeBron will step up and says, you know what, I'll be president, player, coach.
When we played that cut, the thing that is amazing about this interview that he does with Rachel Nichols is that he's overjoyed by making this decision. He's genuinely happy about this decision. He's not leaving with I just can't do it. Listen, we've all left jobs we've hated, right? Are we all in that same club that we've all resigned from jobs that, probably wasn't the right fit or, whether we were younger or whatever. But I've never gone into my boss's office to resign going, oh, you got to understand, I have it so much better outside this place than you don't even begin. I'm free now. I'm free of you and everything around. No, I go in and go, man, it's been great. I loved it here. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the time. This opportunity came up and it's really good for me and my family. Thank you for everything.
you know, guys always have a special place in my heart. It's really been a tough decision. Even if all of it's crap, you still say those things. Magic is like, I got a wonderful life. I'm free. Yeah. Woo. That's horrible. That's a horrible look for this franchise. Because again, as I mentioned earlier, if you are a very, very good president, GM, whatever it is, whatever she's looking for to replace, you know, to step in Magic's shoes, if you're up for that job, if you're on the short list, it means you're doing very good things where you are. Do you say, man, Magic not only quit, but he's really excited to be leaving? I don't think I want to do that. I better do some digging. I'm going to do some phone calls. I'm going to find out from my sources what exactly is going on over there. I mean, is Rob Pelinka poisoning the well? Is LeBron too much to handle? Now, I heard on ESPN today that Rob Pelinka would show up and he would ask out loud, where's Magic? Because Magic was never there. I don't know if that's true.
No, because Magic is also, owner of the Dodgers.
Yeah, he's the owner of the Dodgers. Got some other businesses
going on.
Maybe
he was over there.
Here's the other thing, too.
Is he going to just up and quit the Dodgers now?
Yeah, right? He's going to be like, I'm free. Oh, God. This is great. Listen, not every athlete is cut out for this, okay? Like, there's a lot of athletes, former players, that have gone into front offices and done great things, become great general managers, become great team presidents. Some just have a knack for this. They understand their sport, but they also understand the business side of the sport. Magic, I don't think this was really him. I don't think this was really his type of gig. I don't think he wanted that. You know, I don't think he was, there was reports that he was mean to employees. There was rumor that there was a story that was going to come out about this, that he was not exactly the best person to work for. So people under him had problems with him. I just don't think this was his cup of tea. John Elway's kind of going through that with Denver, despite winning a Super Bowl and getting to another Super Bowl. She's gone to two since taking over the Broncos, which is you have this legacy as a player, and then you try to take that legacy to the front office, and if you don't win or you don't do right the right things or people are critical, it doesn't diminish what you are as a player. I mean, no one who is going to look at Magic and go, I mean, he's a good player and everything, but my God, president, ugh. No, you always are going to look at Magic as one of the greatest basketball players of all time. Same with John Elway. You're always going to see him as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But it does stain a little bit if you have a front office job and you kind of are failing at it a little bit, or there's criticism of you, or you're not being able to do this. I mean, Elway took the Broncos to two Super Bowls, won one, and what's the immediate thing people are saying about it? Oh, you can't find another quarterback after Manning. Like, the greatest quarterback of all time can't find another quarterback. Oh, my gosh. Or he doesn't draft particularly well, although last draft was actually pretty good. I mean, Magic did some good things. He got LeBron James to come to Los Angeles. Maybe LeBron was heading to L.A. in the first place. Who knows? But he was the one that was able to free up enough money and to convince LeBron to come. All right? So that's on his plate. Surrounding LeBron with the right talent? No, not so much. The botched Anthony Davis deal? Not so much. The embarrassing way those players' names were leaked out in a way that those players are like, oh, guess I'm trade bait now. Right? Whatever he thought about Luke Walton, his personal feelings about Luke Walton as a coach. There's a lot of things about this that didn't go really well for Magic. It's an embarrassing season for the Lakers. But the good news about being the Lakers is that you're the Lakers and you can fix this. And you can make this just a blip on the radar. Just a blip on the way to glory. Yeah, it was tough. It was rough. 2018/2019 wasn't the year we were looking for. LeBron's first year here, ugh. Magic quit abruptly. We were losing games. We were supposed to make the playoffs and we didn't. Everybody was hurt. Tried to trade for Anthony Davis and couldn't. But you got to get the right guy in there, Genie. You got to get the right person. So like I said, go poach Sam Presti, for crying out loud. Or find somebody else that you can nab that's on top of the list. Go stick it to Steve Ballmer. Take his guy. I think Michael Winger is doing a pretty good job. Go land him. Pick up the phone. Call Phil. See what he thinks. Or better yet, leave Phil out of it. Phil's been in enough trouble. SB Nation AM.
listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so we've been talking about Magic's resignation from the Lakers, but it comes on the day that Dirk Nowitzki and Dwayne Wade were honored by their home crowds. Did you get a little teary-eyed, Ron? Did you see some of the tributes for Dwayne Wade and Dirk?
I did.
It was really kind of emotional. It was kind
of neat.
I did,
yeah. You know, the little... you know what? One, I don't know if you saw this. It was a commercial Budweiser put out for Dwayne Wade.
Oh, I did see that. That's amazing.
That was awesome. And I mean,
really good.
I love the fact that they just kind of caught Dwayne Wade off guard.
I didn't know his mom was in jail.
No, I didn't either.
And then her mom had that kind of background. And I mean, that was really touching. So basically, the ad was five people. Like Dwayne Wade had traded jerseys with all the stars.
All season long.
So there was five people that wanted to give Dwayne Wade something in return just for what he meant to them. And there was a girl who was a brother, was victim of the Parkland shooting.
That one got
mom.
Me the hardest.
That was really, really hard.
Especially, when she first said that, my brother was a victim at Parkland, and you just see Dwayne Wade's face drop. Because at that moment,
just dropped down.
I think it was like maybe that was the first one to come out, and he's like, all right, I'm excited. What is this? What's this all going to be about?
Yeah.
And then she goes ahead and mentions that, and he's like, oh, here we go.
Yeah, he wrote his name on his shoes.
Yep.
The game. Then there was a gentleman who Dwayne Wade helped get a scholarship. Or no. No, what did he do?
I think he just
inspired
him. The
bigger guy. Just inspired him. Yeah, because he gave him his coat.
He gave him his
cap and gown, right? Or no, suit for his job interview. The woman gave the cap and gown because his scholarship fund helped her get to college.
Yes.
Then there was another woman who lost everything in a fire. And he took her on a shopping spree, helped her get her house and life back together. And then, of course, the mother, who we mentioned earlier, who was in prison. And she turned herself in, and then he supported her, showed up and saw her. And I guess is she a preacher? Because it sounded like...
It sounded like he bought her a church.
Right.
And then that's when she was saying, too, it's like, you don't know how many lives you saved just by doing that act.
Yeah, it was really, really, really emotional. Dirk got a send-off from a lot of NBA greats, including Larry Bird. That was really amazing.
I wonder how they organized that one.
Oh, God, it was great.
I mean, it looked like the top power forwards ever.
Yeah, exactly, right? Right? That's a great way to put that, because it really was. I mean, there was Larry Bird, Charles Barkley, Scottie Pippen was there, Sean Kemp was there, Detlef Schrempf was there. Am I missing somebody? I think those were... Then Mark Cuban gave a really nice send-off. I mean, Dirk, for a guy that's won... I hate to say this because I don't want to say we, because I might be the lone one in the group. I don't think I appreciated Dirk the way I should have appreciated.
No, I don't think you're alone in that at all.
I just feel like I don't. And it's too bad because he's one of the greatest power forwards of all time. He's an incredible scorer, incredible player.
I mean, really, he's the first, seven-footer to, like, he almost popularized seven-footers taking shots from.
Yeah.
Outside the key.
Exactly. And had that really beautiful shot.
The teardrop.
I mean, maybe I don't want to simplify somebody's career as one championship and whatnot. Cause obviously he's one of the best scorers in the league's ever had. And I'm glad he got one, but here's the thing. Sometimes there are championships that people win where, because of circumstances, it's a quote unquote more valuable or more recognizable championship than others. Right. The Red Sox, for example, won a number of championships, but the 2004 one is always going to be better because it broke the curse, et cetera, et cetera. But there was a real hatred for the big three in Miami that first year they put it together. And 99% of it was directed at LeBron, right? For the way he went down to Miami. I'm taking my talents to South Beach, did it on a TV show of all things, didn't tell Cleveland, like the way people hated that so much, and they hated that creation of that super team. And so when they were in the finals against Dallas that first year that Bosch and Wade and Dirk were together, and the Mavericks beat them, like, there was a lot of Maverick fans who didn't pay attention to one second of them during the regular season just because they were rooting for them to beat this big three. I remember saying at the time, look, I think most of Americans who hated the decision recognize that those three were going to win titles. I mean, they weren't going to be kept titleless. They were going to win a championship or two or three. But they just didn't want him to win this one, right? They just didn't, like, it would have been cool if they didn't win right away. And so Dirk and the Mavericks became everybody's favorite team who weren't rooting for the Heat. And I think that highlighted that one championship he won is highlighted because of how he won it and who he won it against. But I'm almost embarrassed to admit I just didn't appreciate him like I should have appreciated him over the career. Dwayne Wade, I always did, because Dwayne won a title in 2006 over the Mavericks, maybe some questionable officiating and whatnot, but nevertheless, he was always a really good player. I remember him at Marquette. I loved him at Marquette. I loved him with Miami. So, I mean, I've always appreciated him. But Dirk, I'm almost embarrassed to say I just didn't appreciate him as much as I should.
And it might have just been because he came from Europe.
That might have been the case.
We didn't really know who he was. I mean, I think we have a greater appreciation now of players who come over from Europe. You know, like, but you know, I say that, but when Kristaps Porzingis was drafted, we were like, "What?"
No, yeah, there were people who were really angry.
What are the Knicks thinking?
Yeah, they were angry. They didn't know who he was, and they didn't want to know who he was. They were like, "This is."
Then turned out that was like, "Whoa,
turned out to be a star."
Dirk Nowitzki 2.0.
Exactly. But remember Dirk and that he won the title and then left the court to go compose himself because he was so overcome by emotion.
Yep.
Like that's great. I mean, that's the kind of emotion you want from these guys where they're just so overwhelmed by winning a title. They got to leave for a minute before they come back out because it's just the moment is so heavy.
It reminds me, I don't know if it, I hope it's true, you know, but it reminds me of that scene in Miracle when Herb Brooks leaves the arena. And just, you know, has a moment to himself in the tunnel.
Yeah, that's right.
Right after they beat the Russians. Yeah, I hope that's true. I hope that's not Hollywood. True. I hope that's true. But that's what I pictured Dirk doing. It's like Dirk just like, okay, hold on, guys.
I just won a championship. I just won a title.
Honestly, he is a bit of a crybaby.
Yeah, it's true.
He was crying last night watching his tribute video. Watch Dwayne Wade, watch his tribute video. He's all smiles. And although he did start to break up when he was going through the team, thanking the team before the start of the game.
Right, right.
Yeah, started getting a little choked up. But I can't imagine. That's got to be emotional for this guy. Especially even though Dwayne Wade had a quick little stint with the Bulls and the Cavaliers, you know, we always know, we pretty much was with one team the entire time.
Exactly. And Dirk was. And we always respect guys who do that. Like, all their whole career, one team. And Mark Cuban had a really good quote about, hey, there's going to be a statue of you, and you know, we hope it's the fall away statue because that's the iconic Dirk and that's going to be great, but you know, it's tough, you know, when you are a fan of a team and you lose a guy that's been on, I mean, 21 years, I mean, think about how long that is. I mean, it's a long chunk of time. I mean, think about what the NBA was like 21 years ago and what it's like today. Think about the emergence of players. Think about the changing kind of the game and the way it's played. Think it was big then that you know, Dirk had to go up against. Think of the arenas that are no longer around that Dirk played in, right? Or, you know, just there's just so much history to his career and what he has seen and what the Mavericks have seen. Remember, there was a time where Golden State was a plunky 8 seed that beat Dallas in the opening round, right? And that was a gotta believe kind of Warriors team that knocked off a very good Dallas team in the opening round. That was an eight upsetting a one. And so there's a lot of that history. I mean, the NBA in 1999 had a strike shortened season. You know, that I think it was 98 or 99, Spurs beat the Knicks in the finals. And I mean, that was 20, 21 years ago.
So can we pencil them down for first ballot Hall of Famers?
Oh, yeah, I think, yeah.
Is that a safe bet? I'm just, you know, if I decided to make a futures bet.
Did I get the video right? Because the sound was down. Did Dwayne Wade fall off the whatever that's called?
The scorer's table?
The scorer's table. Yep. Did he fall off of that?
Well,
he went on top of it and kind of...
He jumped on top of one table, then jumped back down. And it looked like he was jumping on the second table, but kind of missed it.
That's great. Well done. Fantastic.
And then, then he immediately, you know, he had a microphone in his hand. He goes, well, that was tragic. Let's try this again.
Okay. So I saw the video and I didn't hear the audio, but I heard that he had a microphone and... So I didn't know if he did it on purpose or not. So, but yeah, two greats. Final. Dirk is scheduled to play against San Antonio tonight in his final game. But that was his final home game. And Wade, is that their year wrapped up?
I think so.
I'm not sure.
Technically, he might be playing.
Okay, so that they.
I think both. I mean, for both of them, it's their final game.
Yeah. So.
Because either because the Mavericks didn't make the playoffs either, right? I know I know the Heat were eliminated last night.
Yeah. No, they're not. They're not going to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's it.
No, that's all. That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
That's it. Good night. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. It's really it is really it is hard sometimes when you realize, oh my God, this guy's not going to be around. Like, especially when he's like, remember Derek Jeter left? It was like it was a weird feeling. Like, okay, wait a minute, now he's not going to be there. Like next year, he won't be there.
Right?
There's a generation that grows. Think about this: if you're a 21 year old kid Mavericks fan, you've had Dirk your whole life.
You don't know anything
your whole
but
life.
Dirk.
You don't know anything but Dirk, and now he's gone. It's a nice long career, man. It's really, it's impressive to have it one team, one in one era. And of course, Wade, I mean, not only, I like the fact that Dwayne Wade won a title before the big three. I like that he, even though he had Shaq, I still like that he, because remember Shaq always said, it's Dwayne Wade's team. It's not my team. It's Dwayne Wade's team. But I'm glad he won a title, you know, without the big three. Of course, the two that he won, fine. That's great. But the one he wanted without him, without those two, really, yeah, makes it even better. All right, 800-777-2907 on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. As we continue to look at the night in the NBA, and it was a wild one as Magic steps down as Lakers president without telling his boss. He just told everybody in the media. We'll continue our conversation next on SB Nation AM.
This is Mike Curzon. Let's Talk Wheels with an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. You know, we all love the idea of having a high tech car or truck. We all want the latest and greatest features available to really keep our family safe. Now, the only catch to this level of technology is having them fixed if there's a problem. The level of training and equipment required to diagnose and repair safety systems and even hybrid systems is staggering. The level of technology that goes into hybrid and electric drivetrains, it's changing daily. The problem is the dealers can't keep up. Some dealers don't even have qualified people to fix the models they sell now. So before you run out and buy the latest and greatest, you know, electric car that almost drives itself, think about where you can go to get it fixed. Independent shops, they're on the sideline this time. There's no way they can afford the tens of thousands of dollars it takes to even buy the basic equipment. So before you go out and buy that next car or truck, ask the dealer some hard questions about their service department. You're going to be glad you did. This is Mike Kershaw, and Let's Talk Wheels are brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more of my tips, go to letstalkwheels.com or find us on Facebook as Let's Talk Wheels.
Jeep vehicles are world famous for giving you all kinds of freedom. The freedom of going anywhere, anytime in the legendary Jeep Wrangler. Motor Trend's 2019 SUV of the year. The freedom to travel in luxurious comfort with Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. The freedom of taking in more fresh air in Jeep Compass with its available panoramic dual pane sunroof. Or the freedom to push your adventures to new lengths with Jeep Cherokee's fuel-efficient 31 MPG highway. So hurry and visit Jeep.com today for legendary deals during the Jeep Freedom Days sales event. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. Available feature, EPA estimated 4-cylinder, 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Patrick Reed, the Masters champion. You know what he served last night for the Masters dinner? Bone-in ribeye.
That's nice.
Yeah, with a mash, with a macaroni and cheese, and a lot of other creamy sides with salad options.
Yeah, that's not going to inhibit your playing.
You can have them cook anything you want for the Masters dinner. They'll make it. They'll make anything you want.
Anything.
I guess except like giraffe. Like, let's say you want to eat giraffe. I don't think they could get you that.
Well, who doesn't?
Right?
A lot of tender meat around that neck area.
Exactly. Like, find me an endangered species to consume from. I'm sure they're like, no, we can't do that.
I've always been a fan of good panda jerky.
If you are attending the Masters dinner, your former champion, and let's say you don't like bone-in ribeye, that, I mean, please leave the room if you don't like that. You know, but let's say that's not your cup of tea. Maybe you're Gary Player and you're like, I need, you know, you can order something off the menu. You don't have to eat with the championship. Because 1 year, Sandy Lyle, he won the Masters in 1988. He's from Scotland and he served haggis. Imagine showing up to that. Now, haggis, if you don't know, is a sheep's stomach and it's filled with, how do I put this? Hearts, lungs, and other items from the sheep in the sheep's stomach. And oh, by the way, they boil it, which boiling anything is awful, but they boil it and it's haggis. Except pasta. That's right. So he served haggis 1 year and people like, I'll take the steak.
I'll take the pimento sandwich.
Exactly. Got any lobster back there I could have? But man, bone it. And they show pictures of it. It looks delicious. My God, that must be awesome. Just to go to the Masters Champions dinner. It must be fantastic. And think about it. Guys have been going there for 50 years. Nuts. Absolutely nuts. Masters begins Thursday. Par 3 contest today at Augusta National. Coming up, more NBA talk as we dissect what this means for the Lakers without Magic. Maybe it's a good thing because Magic really wasn't ready for the job. It's all coming up SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.